Sure everyone can hear okay. It's important to realize that we are part of and members of the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God has a king. And that king is Jesus. And we are part of that kingdom. Isn't that fantastic? You know, you may think you're a church member, but you should be a disciple and part of the kingdom. And we have a king who watches over us, who loves us, who takes care of us. And I remember when I first started coming along to Christian meetings, it was in a hall like this, really. And it was down by the community centre. Anybody remember those? John and Jeannie will, for sure. The community centre... Eh? Yeah, we're so old. It's been knocked down since then. And I can remember coming to the community centre. We used to sit in sort of like a circle. It was very different. It was very radical. Very radical. And I had no idea what was going on. I had no idea what they were singing about. It was completely sort of alien to me. And I had no idea what was being said. But the most powerful thing that I remember hearing was the fact that people came up and gave testimony. I mean, I've sat in churches and it'd all been pretty boring. I was never really a churchy person. And I can remember people came up and shared testimony of what God was doing in their lives. And I was thinking, this is not about just, you know, believing in a God or coming to a meeting. This is about real life stuff that is happening in people's lives every day. And it's like these people appear to have a relationship with this person called Jesus. It's not just some sort of airy fairy sort of thing. They seem to have a relationship with someone called Jesus, and he seemed to be very present and alive. And my observation as someone who believed in the existence of God but didn't know who he was quite incredible. And I can remember people were, you know, being prayed for, and healing was happening, and people's legs were growing. You know, there was someone 5'2" 1 week, there was 6'1" the next week. Yeah, when I came, I was only this size. They prayed for my legs to grow. I shot up, really. Yes, absolutely. So there was a lot of that sort of thing happening. And this is a natural thing that happens in the life of the church. Do you know that if you look at the New Testament, the life of Jesus, there was no specific healing meetings. There was no specific meetings for trying to win the lost. There was no specific deliverance meetings, because it was all naturally part of what happened every day as part of the body of Christ and the move of the Holy Spirit. It's what Jesus did every day. It's what he did. And that's the important thing. And I'm going to talk a bit more about healing and a bit more about that a bit later on. I just want to pick up just briefly on our prayer meeting on Wednesday, if you were there. Because Barbara had a word about being a watcher, about watching. And she had this word, and we prayed about this word, and we spoke about this word, that there was people who need to watch over situations, where, you know, watching over certain activities in the church, watching over certain groups. And we prayed into that, and it got me really thinking about it's important for us as believers at this time that we are watching, that we are watching. Sight is very important. Sight and what you see is very important. And we need to watch over situations. We need to watch over Bradford on Avon. Have you seen that weird thing that's happened recently? You'll look a bit puzzled. Yeah, so true. There's a lot going on. Where someone has changed all the signs around in Bradford-on-Avon. It was actually on the BBC News this morning. No? No? People coming into Bradford were coming into Camerton or the Jurassic Coast. And the Bradford-on-Avon sign ended up in Radstock. Bizarre things that are going on. People thought it was funny. The council have lost their sense of humour. but someone moved all the signs around so people didn't know where they were coming into. people would go into the wrong place. It happens to us a lot at home. Not that we get lost at home, but people come to our house and think it's Airbnb. We've had people sat outside our front door or stood outside our front door insistent they're in the right place. We 12 o'clock the other night, there was two older people with torches walking around our garden trying to find the key safe. Wasn't there? You know, saying, are you the Airbnb? Karen, incredibly patient and very kindly said, no. It's down the road. So it happens a lot. So it's important to watch what's going on, but don't be alarmed by things that you hear and see. Okay? We need to really know what the Spirit is doing at this time. It's incredibly, incredibly important. Andy spoke talking about, it was Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5. And it says, but you, brothers, are not in darkness, that this day should surprise you. We should not be surprised. Now, let's be honest. How many of you woke up this morning and were surprised that it wasn't the time that you actually thought it was? Hey, come on. Have you noticed there's not many people here today? They're probably all going to come in about 5 minutes. But the importance is, you know, we're not going to be surprised, and we need to watch. Jesus said this in Matthew 24, verse 4 to 8. Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you. Jesus has healed you. If someone comes up to you and says, oh, did God really say? Push it aside. Push unbelief aside. It says here, for many will come in my name claiming I am the Christ and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but do not be alarmed. We hear of wars and rumors of wars all the time. Karen and I were in a Greek restaurant yesterday in Bath, and we're in a Greek restaurant, so we try and be clever, so we try to order all the menu in Greek. And the waitress goes, huh? We were in the real Greek in London and ordered the restaurant, ordered the menu in Greek, and the woman said, huh? What are you on about? So none of them were, but this one waitress was Polish, Romanian. And we started chatting and being very friendly like we do. And she was here studying. And we say, are you going back to Romania? And she said, no, no, I can't because of the war. And I thought, the war? What war is that then? And she said, the war that's come into Romania. I said, really? And she said, yes, we believe the war is going to come to Romania from Russia. And we're getting prepared for the war. So it's not safe for me to go back. I mean, that's quite incredible, isn't it? I mean, you're going to hear these rumors, you're going to hear things, but do not be alarmed. Such things must happen. As we come into these end times, we're going to see more deception, but we're going to see more of the power of God moving in our lives. It says that nation will rise against nation. These things will happen. 1 John 4, 1, it says, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit to see if they're from God, because many false prophets have gone out." And we believe that you are healed in the name of Jesus. There is no other name. You will see from Scripture that the whole Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, always operate through the name of Jesus. We've done our foundation teachings. We've done repentance. We've done faith. We've done baptism in water. How many of you are a disciple of Christ in this room? Good. Have you been baptized? Good. If you haven't been baptized, you cannot be a disciple. Baptism is part of repentance. In the early church, there was none of this saying a little prayer and then waiting 6 weeks till you feel ready. You were in. If you wanted to be a disciple, you buried yourself in water with Jesus. And so we've gone through that, and we last week we did baptism of the Holy Spirit, and we did the laying on of hands, and they're very excited because we've got resurrection and judgment to come. But we spoke about the importance of the laying on of hands, the impartation of what happens, that we have been, Jesus operates through many ways, but the laying on of hands is very important. I'm very cautious who lays their hands on me and starts to say anything to me. You know, I've had some weird things happen in the past because it's an impartation. So don't be deceived. True healing only comes via the Holy Spirit through the name of Jesus. And there are many deceiving spirits out there. And so I just thought I'd flag that up. So it's very important that we have discernment, and it's very important that we have wisdom at this time. And it said in 1 Thessalonians 5:21, test everything, hold on to what is good. So what is God doing at this time? We've had many words. Karen had a word. When did you have this word, Karen?
This week.
Do you want to come and come and share it?
I'll put this down a bit because you'll never hear me. I was just moving some things outside on my decking, outside of my therapy studio, and I was moving this big stone. And as I moved it and lifted it up, a few earwigs and things ran out, and I thought, oh, it looks a bit damp and a bit not so good underneath. But it's amazing, isn't it? When you move something like that, how quickly new growth can start to appear and new life spring up. And I shared this word with our ladies on Wednesday, and I just felt that it was probably appropriate because it was for me. And in a lot of our meetings, and particularly in the prayer meetings on Wednesdays, we've been called to really step up and to move into what God has for us. And we hear also a lot about a new season is happening. And we know we're coming into spring and it's all lovely, things are coming up. But I really feel in my spirit, as I'm sure you do, that something else is happening and we're coming into a new era. So I just felt the Lord say to me, and I'll let you hear this too, that I'm turning stones over in the garden of your life to allow the air and the oxygen of my spirit to bring newness of life where areas were cold, dark, and damp. Where things couldn't grow in the shadow, but not just the shadow, but in the weight of the rock, so those things that were weighing you down. I'm gently bringing you into the light of my promises for your life, new growth, more space for your spiritual development. Be encouraged. Feel the lightness of my spirit as you bathe in my presence and walk hand in hand with me. It's not a burden, is it, when you walk with the Lord and you listen to his voice and allow those changes to happen.
Thank you, Karen. So that's a word of what God is doing, turning stones over in the garden of your life. so that he can come and move amongst us and into areas of your life which have had no light for a long time, which have become dark. But life is going to come in, and light is going to come in. See, Jesus wants you to be free. The kingdom of God is about freedom. Freedom in your life. Wherever Jesus went, he brought freedom. He brought deliverance. He brought a change. He brought a difference. People were set free, and some people didn't like it. The people who didn't like it were the religious people, because they lost control. But Jesus wants you to be free. He wants us to be free. John 8, 31 to 32. To the Jews who had believed in him. So Jesus is speaking to those who believed in him. He said, if you hold on to my teaching, you are really my disciple. Then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. There is only one person who sets you free, and that is Jesus. Whatever the world tells you, whatever the world promises you, whatever the world guarantees you, there is only one truth, and the truth is Jesus. Romans 10:13 says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That word saved also means delivered. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be delivered. And that's what Jesus wants in your life. And it's been great. I think, I don't want you to think that last time we were here was just a one-off. This is something that should be happening every time we gather. Healing, deliverance, freedom, restoration. And I must say, please come and give testimony. You know, you're not going to be judged on performance of public speaking. We just want to know what's happened, because you're giving glory to God, and that's the important thing. And so it's important that we have the right approach. Sometimes the Lord will tell you there's things in your life you have to stop if you want to get to where you want to get to. I think it was the Hippocratic oath, and you know, Greek philosopher, Hippocrates. He says, if someone wishes for good health, he must first ask himself, is he ready to do away with anything which is causing his illness? Okay? If you are suffering with breathing problems and COPD, you may need to stop smoking. That's the practical side of what you may get asked to do, you know. I can remember people asking for healing. It was very obvious that there were certain things in their life that they had to change. So God will meet you where you are, but he may go and give you instruction to go and stop doing something if you want to get to where you want to get to. Bill spoke briefly about the man who was healed, and in our life group last week we shared this passage, but I want to share this again because there's a few things here that I just want to highlight. And it's in Luke 18, 35 to 43. And this is the blind man who is also known in Mark's gospel as Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus. But there's a few things I want to bring out about this passage. And we know this passage. We read it in life group. So our life groupers, you know, I'm sorry about this. You're going to hear it again. It was in the newsletter as well. Who read the newsletter? Come on. I can tell if you're telling the truth. I've got discernment. You can't fool me. As Jesus approached Jericho, and people would have known him, people would have walked past him, people would have ignored him, people would have spat on him, people would have done all sorts of things. He was by the roadside begging. The world hasn't changed in 2,000 years because we see this day after day, city after city. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked, "What is happening?" So he was blind, but he could hear. And he could hear that something was happening. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." So Jesus already had a reputation and a following, and it was mainly around he was going to heal people and he was going to deliver people. And that's what he did. He said, "The kingdom of God is here." He was here. The king of the kingdom was here. So he heard that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. So he called out. So he had to do something. And he called out, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Now he didn't shout out, "Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy on me." He shouted out, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Do you know what the difference is? The difference is, by saying, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me," he was saying, "Jesus, the Messiah, have mercy on me." He recognized him as the Messiah. He had never seen him. He only heard the stories of what he had done. But he knew that everything that Jesus was doing was confirmation that this was the Messiah that they were waiting for, that everybody was waiting for. "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Those who led the way rebuked him. Crazy, isn't it? They rebuked him, told him to be quiet, which is a polite translation. Did he give up? Did he go away? Was he disheartened? No. He shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." He was determined to get to Jesus. He was determined to get his way through the crowd and get the attention of Jesus. Then Jesus stopped. Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. Jesus had compassion on him. Jesus heard him. He saw him. When he came near, he asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Which sounds a silly question, doesn't it? You get a blind man come up to you and you're healing people. And he says, "Well, what do you want me to do for you?" Because Jesus wanted to hear from him. Because by saying what he wanted, he was responded in faith. He was responding in faith. And so he acted in faith. "What do you want me to do for you?" And he said, "Lord, I want to see. I want to see." Then simply, Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight, your faith has healed you." He didn't spend 3 hours praying over him. He didn't dance around him. He just simply said, "Receive your sight, your faith had healed you." Immediately, he received his sight. Now, isn't that incredible? Your faith has saved you. What was his faith? His faith was he recognized who Jesus was. His faith was he shouted out and acknowledged him publicly, "Jesus, son of David, Jesus the Messiah." His faith was he didn't give up. He persevered, even though people were trying to push him away. You know, he probably wasn't the most hygienic of people that people wanted to be around him, living on the streets probably most of his life. We don't know how old he was. Could have been around 30. Who knows? But he would have spent most of his life on the streets. But he persevered and he kept going and he caught the attention of Jesus. And then Jesus said, come, bring him to me. But then he had to say what he wanted. Sometimes we're not specific in our prayers. Jesus says, yeah, but what do you really, really want? What do you want in your life? Tell me. Just simply tell me. Yeah, but you know, I don't want to try. I know you're busy. You got, you know, 5 billion people to look after every day. You know, Jesus is not bound by time at all. You have his one-to-one personal attention 24 hours a day, and it doesn't impact on anybody else's time. That's a whole other message. But that's the truth. And that's why he had to go back to heaven and the Holy Spirit had to come. So he wasn't limited within the area of Judea, but now ministers to the whole world and not just on the streets of Jericho. So that's how the man responded. And we need to respond. We mustn't give up. We need to acknowledge who he is and we need to be specific. And then it said, immediately he received his sight. And what did he do then? He followed Jesus, praising God. And when all the people saw, they also praised God. What an incredible story. There's many stories like this of how Jesus responded. And it's not about just having your sight restored. Do you realize the first person that he ever saw was Jesus? The first person his eyes ever set upon was the person of Jesus. He was physically blind, but he spiritually had sight. He had his physical sight restored, and now he could see the person who he had believed in and acknowledged. And sometimes we need physical restoration of our eyes, but sometimes it's spiritual. We need to open our eyes and see, going back to discernment and wisdom, seeing what is true, what is false. It's really important to know what is of God, what is not of God, and to see him. So the first thing that would have happened was his eyes would have been set on the eyes of Jesus. How incredible is that? That is remarkable. You know, when you open your eyes at the resurrection, first thing you will see will be the eyes of Jesus. If you want to know more about the resurrection, come to our next foundation study because it affects everybody. Everybody. The truth is, everybody will stand before the Lord and will see the eyes of Jesus. But his eyes, as it says, will be like fire. The resurrected Lord. And it's important that we have our eyes opened and we need to pray that people can see. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, it says, the God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelievers that they cannot see the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So we're praying for people to be healed this morning. We need to pray that God will open the minds of people. Open them so that they can see the truth of who Jesus really, really is. Jesus said this, and he said this, and you'll know this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom. Freedom in your life, in your spirit. Freedom from the things which have held you down all your lives. You can be a believer and you can still have chains in areas of your life which will hold you down. It's true. That can happen. But Jesus can break those chains. Proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, and set the oppressed free. If you feel oppressed or downhearted, it's Jesus is the one who sets you free. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. So we're living in the age of the kingdom, and it's not a season, as Karen has just said. We're living in an era. An era and a season is a very different thing. A season is more short term, will come to an end, will come into something else. An era is very long term. It changes culture. It changes the way we do things. It has a bigger impact on us. And we are moving into this new era that God has for us. And we just never know what's going to happen. I think it was Mother's Day. Was it 5 years ago when COVID hit? I can remember standing up. You know, I'm not sure when we're going to be back together again. And we just didn't know. So things can change quite quickly. Lo and behold, here we are. Who thought we'd be in Westwood Social Club? Yeah, don't laugh. Who thought we'd be in Westwood Social Club? What's going to happen next? You know, we see these as positive things in how the God is leading us at this time, how God is leading us. But it's important to know, and it's important to go away and take on board the word and apply it to your life. Don't just be hearers, be doers of the word. Very, very important. Be aware that the Lord is going to be turning over stones in your lives. And he's going to be highlighting to you things because he wants to get the light in there. He wants to get the light in there. He wants to get restoration in there. He wants to see new growth in your lives and new growth within this church, within this community. You know, church is not about order of service. It's not about just meetings. Church is about community. It's about the body functioning together. And that's what we need to do. So we need to be aware of these things and be encouraged to feel the lightness of the Spirit as you bathe in his presence and walk hand in hand with him. It says, just on a final word, as it's on my watch, 12:05, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, created a triune person, spirit, soul, and body, be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Amen. I'll say that again. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Amen. 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 There's no foundation. Well, there's no foundation tonight. So resurrection and judgment coming, folks. I tell you, in all honesty, resurrection and judgment, the things we've been doing is about the now. Resurrection and judgment is about the things that are coming. But it's really interesting because this is classed as elementary teaching. And it's things that we should know. And when you understand what's going to happen at the resurrection, and when you understand at the end of time, when we all have to give an account to Jesus, what that actually means, not just for us, for everybody else, it changes your perception of we're here for a short period of time. We need to be active and moving as the body of Christ. It gives you a greater dimension and understanding. So if it's something that you're not sure about, please come along. Please come along. You know, Karen makes cake every week. Yeah. We did the session about, standing firm upon the rock. So the cake's very nice. Cake is fantastic. But really, But really do come along. It's a great time. There's only two to go, folks. But thank you.